I've been working on some writing, but I haven't committed anything yet.
So I just wanted to make sure that it's in a readable form, because I remember the last time I committed stuff, it was not readable.
That's okay. This is readable.
I understand this. Okay. Yeah, but I'll make sure that it's readable before I commit more things.
Mm. That's okay.
So from my perspective, that there are, I think we have three levels design: global resource manager and the local resource manager, as Roger proposed, and I add one last level. I saw it.
Those two level manager, if I understand them correctly, they just belong to the middleware layer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have I call it core resource manager.
Core resource manager, right?
And so, in the first draft that Roger committed, then you said that we propose a two-level resource management approach in this name, where data center level is a global resource manager, and then per host level is a local resource manager.
Mm-hmm.
But you also mentioned that we are not going to touch the problem of global resource manager.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not here. Not in the scope of this proposal, at least based on our previous discussions.
Right.
Is that still the thinking? I mean,
no. What
to
I'm
me, it makes sense because
yeah,
we haven't really talked much about any global issues yet.
No.
And it's
not really.
I think it's too late now.
No, it's
to talk about it.
I mean,
well,
I'm not thinking to talk about it. I'm just thinking that how do we really explain what we're trying to do? Because we're saying that the global resource manager is part of the scheme, but we are not doing it. Then,
the reason why I wrote that paragraph is to give the reader some context for what we are doing. Because in the end, we want to sell this as a data center level solution, right?
Okay.
Which is why I wrote that.
Okay.
And
It makes sense to have that, to make a clear picture.
Mm.
I agree with you. It just needs not to focus.
In fact, we could expand on it a little bit more if it makes sense.
It can,
right?
If it's necessary.
Yeah,
mm. Absolutely. At this moment, the middleware level is focused on cross-port management, not cross-physical node management. So if it makes sense to extend beyond that, it's okay.
Mm.
I will certainly revise the first two sections based on whatever results, whatever discussions we have in the following sections. So that's not an issue.
Right.
One more I have is we have this. It's the topic we discussed during our Thanksgiving meeting. Is from hardware point of view, that whatever we observe, and from several papers we read, like the S plus paper, like the micro paper,
mm-hmm.
that the all coherence with what I observe also is the question we try to reduce the variance of cache miss rate across multiple cores, right? And however, the question Roger raised is that we try to counter that, right? You
minimize,
counter that.
Minimize the contention.
No, what you were trying to do is you were saying that maybe just doing the just reduce the variance is not enough.
Yes.
Right. So that is, I have some little worry about that, because if we don't have, do we have solid data right now to support that?
Support what?
Which is why we do have, I mean, I agree it would be good to have data to support that, which will strengthen our claim to say that, well, reducing the variance of miss rates is not sufficient for an optimal solution, right? So I don't know if Dulcado has had time since our previous meeting, last meeting, to do anything, any additional experiments in that direction, but we could talk about that today, some more. But that's a very valid concern. Even I have that concern. Although I wrote what I wrote, I can only come up with very simple counterexamples that if the goal is to just reduce the variance, you can combine applications with or workloads that interact very poorly in each last level cache, and then still ensure that the last level cache miss rates are the same, but the overall miss rate is really high. On the other hand, if you have workloads that do not contend and lead to low miss rates, there can be additional variance, but the overall miss rate is really low, right? I mean, I can only come up with some hypothetical examples like that, which may not even be real, right? So it would be good to have some data to show that there are real examples, counter examples.
Yeah. If you can give me more details of those hypothetical examples, we could try to...
Right, so for instance, let's say that we have an application that one application which is very high miss rate because it doesn't have any reuse, and another application that has very high reuse, but it also has substantial miss rate. Mm. If we can combine multiple instances of such applications, so that if you combine, let's say, a very high miss rate application which has zero working set with another similar application, the total miss rate is going to be high. And then on the other hand, you combine an application which, let's say, has very large working set that can completely fit in cache if it's dedicated for that application and has maybe moderate miss rate, but when it is combined with another similar application, the miss rate is suddenly very high again, right? So if we combine, let's say, applications of the same kind together, the last level cache miss rates in these two classes of applications would remain the same, let's say, if we can create such applications, hypothetical applications. But then the right schedule or the optimal schedule is to combine two different kinds of applications together, right? One which has a large working set with one which has a very small working set.
But we also talk about the paper has an online version, right? So the online version can solve that problem.
Which provides
online? No, the paper does. Yeah, the online version just says, well, if the miss rates change, but right. The miss rates remain the same. Even in the online version. So the online version will just monitor miss rates and say, oh, both last level caches are the same miss rate. There's no need to do anything.
So, Raju, in this case, my understanding is you try to go beyond the miss rate.
Yeah.
And you try to, for example, I think you have an application that has low reuse rate.
Yes.
Has low reuse rate, so then that corresponds translate to high miss rate.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it has a high flood rate.
Yes.
Right. But on the other hand, there's another application has a low reuse rate, but has low flood rate. And so for that application, if we only look at the miss rate, you cannot differentiate them because they both appear like high miss rate,
mm-hmm.
but their impact on the co-running process
yes.
would be different because one is tend to flood the other one,
mm-hmm.
one is not tend to flood the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your, but am I right?
That's one aspect of the argument.
Yeah.
The other aspect is just the size of the reuse set itself. The miss rate is independent of the size of the reuse set, right? Because these are two different concerns.
I still don't get it. Following Chen's example, then the impact would be reflected by the core application's miss rate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So then when you observe that district online, you would be able to tell which one of these two applications is a better pair to that application.
But that's not what they're doing. They're only equalizing the miss rates across the last level caches. That's the goal, to ensure that the variance in miss rates is not too much. It's not minimization of miss rates. It's just minimization of variance in miss rates. Mm.
Okay. Now I see your solution.
For you to determine the minimization of the miss rates, you need to combine all possible combinations, right?
Yeah.
So you have to run all possible combinations, figure out which is the minimum miss rate.
Mm.
What they can do is just ensure equalization of miss rates, but that equalization can be high equalization or low equalization, which
I
is
see.
What my
I
problem
see.
Is.
I see.
Or it could be, it doesn't have to be equal. If the miss rates are low, some miss rates are a little bit higher than others, they are not as equal, but it's much better than having two equal high miss rates, right? So,
yeah. I think that the way I look at it, our objective is much more advanced than what they are trying to do. Our objective is to optimize the global revenue, right? And that certainly does not only depend on the miss rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we,
to some extent, it does depend on the miss rate,
yes,
but the goal that they have, is, which is to equalize
right.
miss rate,
that's
does not give you that.
No.
Yeah.
So that would be
which is what I'm trying to try to confirm with data, if we can. Right? Because I can come up with hypothetical examples, like I said, to say, okay, that's not good enough, but maybe it's not a real problem. Maybe in reality, when you equalize miss rates, the miss rates also become minimal.
Even before that,
hmm.
different applications can have different values, right? They can have generally different profits. So, crash rate does not directly relate to the application's profit or revenue, right?
True.
So
that is also true.
Yeah, just even before that. So, just by even the crash miss rate, that's not directly related to the total revenue.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, but for the case that you discussed, so you're trying to do, I guess, is so say you have four applications, right? We can have different combinations, and you want to produce a case that you have equalized cache miss rate, but which
that's
is
high,
very high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in another case, there may be some variance between the
okay.
The two cores, the two LLCs, but they are much lower.
Mm. I think that should be possible.
But then, why we don't just instead of coming out synthetic applications, then just use the
existing
no Ducato. Ducato.
Yes, Ducato. Yes.
Mm.
No, not Ducato.
What?
Who is your student? Ricardo.
Yeah.
Ricardo, because Ricardo's ERSS model, he already generated the tree for those applications.
Mm.
Then, for just from there, we can tell we know the behavior of those applications. And then, why don't just let Ducato run those benchmarks?
Even in Ducato's existing data, we have cache misses from all the combinations.
No. That's. But what we're trying to do is try to relate this with the reuse rate, flood rate, and.
Right, but at this point, I'm only interested in demonstrating that this cache plus work does not meet our requirements for our problem.
Then we can say, okay,
we've done some work and that can help towards meeting that goal. We do not want to show that we already solved the problem because we want money to solve that problem, right? So at this point, I think it's sufficient for us to make the case that there is additional work to be done.
Okay, there is. So, as I said, Ducato already has the combined cache miss rate from all the pairs, all the specific pairs.
Mm.
Okay, so I just need to identify two pairs. When they are
Four pairs.
Four benchmarks.
Yeah.
When they are scheduled in different ways.
Yeah.
That can generate two cases like that we just discussed. That's, we need to look at the data, but we don't need to do more experiments because we already have all the data.
Okay.
We just need to dig out such two cases. That's possible if there is such case. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even if there's no such case, I mean.
Then can we create synthetic benchmarks? That
I don't know.
That's going to be hard. But maybe Ricardo can help with that because he did some synthetic benchmarks too.
Yeah, but still, when we explain this, I think it makes sense to convey the idea we have a much higher level objective.
That's true. That's
right.
We have
much higher level.
There is
objective.
A different objective.
Right. We have ACLA, is a different application has different values. ACLA is, and so in the end, the equalized catch meter, even if that's the one that gives you the lowest catch rate, that may not give you the highest revenue, right? So I don't think that's I think it's easy to differentiate sometimes, even without any data to support, like the counter example of their data.
Yeah. I mean, the other issue is that this paper doesn't really address the problem of allocation of CPU.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't touch that at all. So
that paper is still from the operating system point of view. Right.
It's not.
No?
Because it is. It does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The scheduling, the whole thing they try to do is from the operating system, from operating system point of view. It's not from the architecture part.
Yes. True.
Uh-huh. Just like your paper, right? I'm the better use of blah, blah, blah. I see that's also from the operating system's point of view, how to make scheduling. Right?
Yeah, that's what we did is we say that if the software scheduler can make this decision, then we would, from hardware level, this is what we will be producing.
Okay.
One section said, I see everything we discussed so far, last level cache regarding the S plus paper, it's in isolation for non-partitionable host resources. So we think last level cache is not non-partitionable. But then they already have work in cache partitioning and everything. So how do we?
Right, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that even if you have partitioned caches, there is still the question of how to allocate cache, which is a different problem. Let's say you have come up with a technique to partition caches.
Yeah.
Let's say using page coloring.
Uh-huh, okay.
Even so.
Uh-huh.
To make use of that in the best possible way, you need to figure out how much cache to partition.
Yeah.
How to partition the cache.
Yeah.
And that is something which is not addressed, I think.
Okay.
That's my point in that.
No, my point is that which means that is also partitionable. It's not like non-partitionable.
So I'm looking at commodity versus non-commodity hardware, and it has to be clear in the proposal.
So which one would look at?
I think we should look at both. I think since there is an architectural component, we should look at
both.
Both, yeah.
Okay.
And then we can say that our work is valid for both, because if we can model the cache usage, then first of all, if your cache is not partitionable, we can use that to ensure isolation. If the cache is partitionable, then we can use that to figure out how to partition the cache.
Oh, better partitioning.
Yeah, better partitioning of cache. Yeah.
I have two comments. One is that I don't think cache partitioning is widely used, right? And I don't see there's a general solution, right? Even page coloring, I don't think that is a good solution that applies everywhere. Right?
I think there are some caches that can be partitioned, but it's very static partitioning. Right? You say, okay, I'm going to allocate half the cache to this application and have the other cache to the other process.
Yeah.
Right? It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's going to solve your problem.
Right. My point is, even for that, that's not widely used in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Not even today. Right.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I don't want us just be concentrating just on cache. Because cache is just one thing that can cause contention.
Mm.
Right. The things related to cache, like memory bandwidth, right? Those kind of things that discussed by that paper too. The contention there too, and how do you position memory bandwidth?
Mm.
Right? So, and even beyond that, like what we discussed, the multi-threaded cores, their functional units, right? The contention there too, right? So, I think for this cache is a concrete example for which we are going to propose, but our solutions actually can be, you know, more general than that. Okay, but maybe ERSS is titled that. Okay, but there are others that we can propose that do not have to be tied to cash consumption.
Right. I mean, of course, there is the cash part is only one component of the middleware management. The other is a more looking system-wide. Right, system-wide meaning you're also looking at, let's say, I/O contention. And what we are doing with Sajib and, you know, with input from Ajay is, which reminds me that we need to get a letter from him, ASAP. So I'm sure he will support the proposal. So we need to come up with a version that he can actually read and maybe come up with, maybe we can provide him a letter that he can just sign. But with the work with him addresses IO contention, memory allocation, CPU allocation, how are you going to do that to meet a certain objective? So in right now in the proposal, I'm not specific about the SLA-based revenue maximization. I say that whatever is the objective, it could be performance maximization or it could be SLA-based revenue maximization. Right? But that I don't want to restrict our work to just be focusing on SLA-based revenue maximization. Right. So the question is, how do we present our challenges and solutions so that it's more generic? And I don't know what you think about that. Or should we just focus on SLA-based revenue maximization? You think that makes things easier?
If we can present different objectives as well, then it makes us include we consider both of them.
Mm-hmm. But in your mind, I think you have a single objective.
In my mind, so why they say that is what? Throughput?
Yeah, throughput. Yeah, yeah. Performance maximization.
System level.
System level.
System performance.
Isn't that related?
Performance is not directly related to SR, to revenue.
No, the thing is, so from my point of view, throughput. It's a throughput. Throughput is defined that the time you finish.
That's really assuming all the applications have the same weight, right? But they may be important applications, not important applications. You want to differentiate them.
By the way, we are talking about applications that do not finish. They are like continuously running applications.
Okay.
And then in that case, throughput would be how many total instructions per second.
Yeah.
Maybe that's throughput.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good enough measure for throughput or not. If it's instructions per second, then maybe you don't want to have any contention at all, right? So it becomes a little bit problematic if we go after the throughput objective.
So if we say take web applications, for example, e-business applications, so the transactions per second, I think that makes sense too. Transactions per second, but then not really. Yeah, you cannot really put different applications on the same scale.
So maybe it's safer to just stick to SLA based revenue maximization.
Yeah.
But then there is this other part of work with respect to cash contention modeling. I'm not sure how we're going to incorporate that, because at this point cash contention modeling, the work so far only addresses whether two workloads are going to be isolated on cache or not.
But if we extend
it to say, okay, if we change the CPU allocation, then how does the contention change?
I think it connects this to Sajib's work, right? Which allocates if you...
Yeah, but it's not clear how to model cache contention. Not clear to me at this point. I have to think more.
Okay. The one question is, do you want to say anything based on extension of Sajib's work, or you just want to use that as a preliminary work? Is there anything that you have in mind that is
to extend Sajib's work?
Right.
Yes, there is. for instance, the work that we do with competing IOPS, and one of the things that I've asked Sajib to do today is to show examples where the competing IOPS is not sufficient to create an accurate model, but latency is. And so we can go after better models for capturing the IO contention.
Okay.
Also, we can say that the initial work only looked at very, very limited set of resources and on much smaller machines. We want to validate the more complex models on better, more recent hardware and things like that.
Okay. Then I guess you are going to have your first present ERSA to come up with the model that can estimate cache contention based on secure allocation and the other things, parameters. And then you talk about taking the cache contention as well as IO contention as input to predict performance or to optimize SLA, right? Upon the basically extension of subchips work, but with the additional input, which is the cache contention.
Well, the problem is that the cache contention. Yeah, I think that might. That might actually be the right way to use cache contention as an additional parameter in the overall.
Right. And then the ESS model, because something that the Sajib's model can call, basically, given the CPU allocation, can calculate the cache contention using ISS. And then with cache contention and the CPU allocation, the other allocations, you can predict performance.
Yeah, we can sell that. I mean, it's easy to write a proposal, in my opinion. Always easier to write a proposal because you can say, well, it seems reasonable. Maybe that's the way we should go with this proposal.
But isn't the ERSS model hasn't taken the CPU allocation into consideration yet?
It hasn't done that yet. That's one of the proposals.
Yes, we have proposed it.
That's one of the items that we are proposing in this work,
okay.
For this project, right?
So for the...
We don't have that yet. It's not in the version that you're looking at.
For the I.O., which layer takes care of that? Certainly, core level doesn't take care of that.
The middle layer.
Maybe part of what's in the smart there.
Chen, have you had a chance to think about getting reuse rate and flood rate in performance counters?
No, I haven't. But,
that would be very
I certainly think that's doable, but I just need to solidate. Make it so much solid.
Concrete. Yeah.
Way to do it.
And the question is, if you have multiple applications that are sharing the cache, how do we measure the reuse rate for each individual application and each individual process and
I think for that case
you can look at maybe the program counter and maybe some other piece of information that will tell you which process it is and whether it reuse something hit or miss. And whether it, how do we construct the, let's say, the reuse rate for, actually reuse rate is probably easy because that's hit rate, right?
Okay.
Reuse rate is.
Yeah, certainly.
Isn't it hit rate or no? Maybe if we turn off prefetching, then it's equal to hit rate, right?
By the way, how do you turn off prefetching? Is it BIOS option or how to turn off?
I don't know, but those guys in the Ask Plus paper, they did that.
I think she tried to do that, but she couldn't figure out how to do it.
I think the person we should ask is Ricardo.
It's just a simulator option.
For x86, I think you can ask Ricardo. He'll probably have the best answer.
Okay.
He's very good with x86 basically. Yeah.
So the thing for instructions, what we do when in a multi-threading case is in the pipeline we add extra bits to that instruction. We call thread ID so that we can tell that which instruction is from which thread. And then when all you need to do is scan through the queue, then you can count, okay, in this queue how many instructions from this certain thread. Then you can calculate the distribution among the different thread, and then you can do all those are the basic counters, right? And how you can collect those information. But then if you're talking about doing this in last level cache, and then maybe it's doable in a simulation point of view, because then you just add a, for each cache line you add a thread ID to it, then you scan through all the cache line, then you can have idea that about to get your online reuse rate. And certainly the drawback is you increase your cache overhead, because now your cache has aside from your data, your tagline, your dirty bits and everything, have a thread ID.
Don't think about simulator overhead though.
Okay.
Like, think about the simulator overhead can potentially be hidden, right?
Okay.
As we can always, if you're looking at virtual time, we can always deduct whatever overhead operations.
Okay.
Question is how much overhead in hardware,
hardware. That's what I mean. That's
and can that overhead be made small enough so that it becomes acceptable? I think that's the real challenge, because what we are trying to argue here is that if these additional counters are available, then we can calculate ERSs in an online fashion, which I think is important for this ERSs work to be applicable in this kind of online data center, right, where the workload can change. So then the job in the proposal is to convince the reader that it is practically feasible to implement such hardware counters.
Okay.
Right. So if that's the direction of, I'm expecting that you can write about.
Sure.
Is how can we create such counters?
Okay.
But
ERSS model is looking at the whole memory hierarchy.
It does, but there is one within each node.
Yeah.
It is computing what is the ERSS value for that node.
Yeah.
So what I'm proposing, what I will propose, is that in the online sense, the application is always in some phase.
Yeah.
For that phase, we want to compute what is the ERSS now, right? And then we can make a decision as to which cache to allocate for that application.
But still, you cross multiple cache levels.
We will cross multiple cache levels, but maybe we can just focus on last level cache.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. Assuming that that's going to be the indicator of performance.
Okay.
So, question, how does the processor know that a instruction is a miss? No, in current processor. How does the processor know there's a miss in the last level cache? How does the cache tell the processor there's a last level miss?
Later.
The hardware actually counts the misses in a counter, in a register.
Who calculates that? Cache?
The hardware itself. The hardware will keep track. Each time there is a miss, it will increment a certain register.
But the pipeline should know that, right? Because basically it costs a memory store, so the pipeline has to reorder the instruction, right? So that information has to be feedback. I'm just trying to figure out.
So normally you don't know.
You don't?
It's like you preset a threshold. So for example, 20 cycles.
Uh-huh.
20 cycles, the information requested hasn't come back.
Uh-huh.
Then you say it's a miss.
Then that makes it possible to implement this, right? Because you know which instruction is from which thread.
No, you always know which instruction formulation.
Right. So then you can calculate the reuse rate, right? Because you know if a memory access is a hit or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why think it's difficult to implement that in hardware? Implement what Roger needs.
No, I'm not saying it's difficult.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying it's doable, but there is overhead associated with that.
You don't really have to associate thread ID with cache entries, right?
But from Roger's work, I think you do, because you're looking at the whole cache.
You need to compute the reuse rate, computing reuse rate for each process separately, not the overall cache reuse rate. To compute the ERSS for each process.
Okay.
We need the reuse rate for that process. We need the flood rate for that process.
Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to think about this. Anyway, I think you should be left with all of that question. And so on.
Yeah,
I think that's certainly a problem
I have to tackle and then propose a feasible solution for that and put into.
If you think there's going to be too much overhead, maybe you can come up with different solutions.
Hmm.
One that is simple but not so accurate, and the one that is advanced but not of overhead. And, to make it easy to slide.
Mm-hmm.
I think this information would also be useful for me when I do feedback control too. Because I also need to know when I migrate the process, as I told you before, right? When I migrate a process across cores, how much overhead that would generate. Right? And that would require to know the knowledge of the cache node. Okay. The other suggestion is when we do a write-up, don't constrain yourself by cache contention. Just like when we do write-up in middleware by level management, okay, we are considering all different types of contentions. Okay, contention on I/O, contention on cache, contention on in the same code, function unit in the same code.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do the write-up in the hardware level. We can consider all the possibilities too. Okay.
No, hardware level, you can see that I'm constraining myself to CPU and caches, that's what I'm constrained to CPU and caches, and then from going one level up, then you can play with you can reach at the cache level, and then you can reach even further up, right? So
again, for us to take the contention and the function units between different logical cores, but to take that into consideration, we need some knowledge from you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You provide that.
Yes.
Hypothetically.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So the plan is, I'm concerned a little bit about when we send a draft to Ajay. That will give us also a deadline to come up with something that's complete, right? Or at least as complete as possible.
Yeah. He will be leaving tomorrow, right? So what do you think? And I said if you can, I have just only 50% ready. So with all the information already there, but nice in detail, that's fine too.
So
I can put all the major bullet point we try to tackle there, but the thing is for me to come out with a very solid solution for each bullet, then it may take some time for that.
That's fine. I think even if you, let's say, list the challenges and provide some initial ideas, doesn't have to be your final version.
Mm-hmm.
I think at least it should be sufficient to send to Ajay.
Okay.
I think we should send to Ajay, say, latest by Monday or...
Because
first of all, after that point, I mean, I probably will not be able to do too much work. So my goal is to do everything by Monday, at least for my part.
You have a 30-hour flight that you can use, right?
I don't like to work in the flight. I mean...
Remember, you told me you cannot go into sleep after that either, right?
Yeah. And
what do you do?
See, the thing is, for me, sleep is so important. And if I cannot sleep, I cannot work. So, which is why I don't typically, I mean,
I can work a little bit, but then after a while I'm useless, basically. I cannot sleep for that. But I'll try to work. I prefer to work as much as I can before I go.
So that's the thing. It makes sense for us to start that.
So basically,
let's do Monday night. I mean,
Monday night
to have a version to send to Ajay.
Monday night sounds good to me.
And then we have to submit also the internal clearance and everything, right?
We have time for that.
Yeah. Right.
If we can have this draft ready by Monday, I think we are
in very good
shape. Yeah. Yeah, nobody have it by last week.
I mean, we don't need to worry about the broader impact and all of that.
I think
right now, maybe schedule. Schedule also is not that clear.
I think I'm most about that, and maybe these some numbers and things and some details from you. You can commit to my emails.
Okay, so let's do Monday, and I should give you the internal, the current and pending before, or does it directly go now? Is it all electronic or something? I heard about.
Yeah,
that's what they meant, that we don't need to file the internal clearance,
no.
The current and pending anymore.
Is it ready now? Or?
Yeah, it's
okay.
It's,
I don't know.
It's implemented already.
I think the only thing is that I need to upload the current and pending to Fastlane. That still needs to be done directly to Fastlane. So we don't need to send it to us.
But
we need to upload to Fastlane. So I should remember to do that before I go.
Yeah. Well, you have internet access, right?
I do have internet access, and yeah, it's not a problem.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, I still left India in 99, and things were not as good then. So I'm always paranoid when I go there.
Okay, yeah.
That things can suddenly change. Things are always getting better, but I'm always... I won't be surprised if I go to India, and let's say there is no electricity for 10 days.
That was bad. That is bad for people. Yes, that means upload your bio too. Upload your bio.
Yeah, I'll upload all the
bio and the
Fastlane related items.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before you leave, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so let's target Monday night.
So,
you want to meet somehow? On Skype or something, or just over email?
Before Monday or?
No.
After.
Yeah,
right. We can see them. Yeah. We too can meet physically, and we can include you.
Okay. If it's a reasonable time, let's say early morning or late night, I can join.
Sure. We can schedule things. And semester is down. We are all free.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, semester is down.
Yeah. Once we have a draft, we can read that and we can discuss and iterate.
Yeah.
Many rounds.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
So, you are leaving tomorrow?
I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon.
Afternoon? Okay.
But you are in the US, right?
I'm in Atlanta.